The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
I'm joined by GP Eleanor Galvin, who's here to talk about some of the health problems and issues that can crop up at this time of the year. Hello, Eleanor.
Good morning, Claire.
Lovely to have you with us. So these are things that we never really think about, I would risk saying. So medicines that don't behave well in the sun and in the heat, firstly.
And I think we think about those maybe when it's a little too late and when the sun comes out and we don't expect it. We've had a fabulous bit of great weather, and I suppose it's to remember that sometimes people might maybe keep their inhaler in their car for asthma, and they can explode when cars get hot.
Okay.
Or they may not work as well when you go to use them the next time.
Well, that's a big danger. I mean, exploding, obviously, not good.
No.
But if you use something and you continue to take your prescription and it's not effective, that's you're in a danger zone there, right?
Yeah. And there's things that people know to hold in the fridge, like insulin, but then they might be bringing it with them somewhere out. And it's to not leave these things places where they get warm, to read the labels that come on medication or come in leaflets really well, to know how you're to store them properly. If you're storing something in the fridge, you store it in the middle of the fridge, not in the door of the fridge, because that would be maybe different temperatures. And the heat can break down the active ingredient in it. And if you have a worry about something like that, don't use it. So if a tablet looks maybe a bit more crumbly than it should and you think, God, maybe I have been leaving that sitting inside in a hot window sill, you know, think about it twice. Or if you have something that looks not quite right, have a think about it.
So if people have to transport something like insulin on a plane or on a long journey, how do you advise them to do that? An ice bag?
You can get special medical pouches that are insulated that you've put little gel packets into or little ice blocks into, but the medication itself is kind of protected with bubble wrap or a cloth. And always, if you're traveling with any medication, you would bring it in your hand luggage and that you would leave it in the boxes or in the packaging it comes in, so that your name is on it, so it doesn't look like you're taking medicine for somebody else on a plane.
Oh, of course, because you could get in big trouble.
You could get in big trouble. And there, it's a kind of a wise thing to do, to bring a copy of your prescription with you, or for some medication, to bring a letter from your GP explaining why you're on it. And that may not be so big for going to places like France or Spain or in Europe, but if you were going to the United Arab Emirates, Bali, Thailand, Turkey even, there's a lot of what we would call kind of normal enough stuff that people would be on, like anti-anxiety medication, sleeping tablets for certain things, ADHD medication and painkillers that are banned in those countries, which in some of those countries you need to get prior permission, and you should always check with those sort of countries what you can bring in and what you can't.
Well, I'd say there's an awful lot of people who don't know this.
There is every year. And then it's very hard in retrospect to be sending over the documents over there and them not to be suspicious of it, because it's seen as it's a criminal offence. So they make a huge distinction between prescription medication for you prescribed and stuff that you're just carrying in. So leave it in its package, have an explanation for it, declare it when you're going through into the airport if needed. But be sure that you have your ducks in a row. So it'd be very easy if you were a newly diagnosed ADHD person to chuck your tablets into your bag and off you go to a foreign country and then suddenly find yourself in a little bit of trouble. Painkillers like Solpadeine, some countries even have problems with those. So some people might just throw in a pack. That just to be cautious about those sort of things.
Okay, so ask your friendly GP for a letter
or your pharmacist, anybody, for something that explains or makes it sure that this is clear, that this is prescribed for you and not something that you, if you were stopped over there, that it's not something you bought over there.
Yeah, that's very good advice that I think might be overlooked. Now, it is hay fever season as well, so people will be on their antihistamines. Any advice on that? Because I hear different things every year, like you shouldn't be on the same one for more than a couple of weeks, that your system will get used to it, you should change brand. Is there anything in any of that?
I think it's a very trial and error sort of thing, hay fever. I think you should be kind of planning ahead and thinking, now they're saying about long range forecast. I don't know how accurate that is, but in maybe 10 days time, we may be having an awful lot of good weather. That's being said.
It is being said, and we accept and believe that, Eleanor, as well.
And we accept it will happen till the start of September. So I think if you're expecting hot weather in 10 days time, it is today, you should be taking your antihistamines and spraying yourself up the nose. You should be stopping putting.
What are you spraying up your nose now?
These sort of over the counter sprays that you can get for antihistamine sprays. Mm-hmm. So you could start that ahead of when the pollen, so that you are not that you are in your best nasal passage times for when the pollen starts to fly about.
And can you take both? Can you take the antihistamine yes. tablet and the spray?
Yes, and you can take the eye drops as well, but you probably don't need those in preparation. Have some Vaseline in so that you can put a little thin film around your nose, have the physical barrier like the wraparound Bono sunglasses, and be ready for the 10 days time so that you are going at it from maybe think about getting a HEPA filter for even your bedroom if it's very bad. Which I'm sure you could probably get on Amazon or somewhere, or in a shop easily enough this time of the year. And do not dry your clothes outside in the line, even though it's great drying time. Put them on a clothes horse
inside. It's an awful shame, isn't it?
I know. Don't do it. Or if you have a cat or a dog and they're coming in from outside, give them a little brush by the back door, slightly wet brush, and hope that that gets a little bit of the pollen off them.
Mm-hmm. We have a poor dog who suffers yeah. from that herself. Yeah. Yeah. So it's we're getting it from all sides. And you're advising people as well not to scrimp on your hay fever medication because you can get ones that are a bit cheaper.
Well, I suppose it's trial and error. Some work better for people than others work. And then there's prescription strength ones. So the kind of maximum dose of an antihistamine you can get from on prescription is probably much higher than you can get in a pharmacy. And you can get a very long prescription for it. It would do you the 6 months. I suppose nobody wants to be taking medicine if we do have a dreadful August. I mean, and we're not expecting a great September. I would say don't be taking it then. But certainly in hay fever season, take your hay fever medication because hay fever is very miserable. And then I suppose it's to plan ahead for what you will do for other years. And sometimes if you are really suffering with hay fever, it is worth looking at immunotherapy through allergy clinics or immunotherapy specialists.
Mm-hmm. So if a huge commitment. If you're saying if the over-the-counter medication doesn't work, that don't stop there. Then go to your GP and see where you can take it.
And do the normal practical things about not putting your laundry out in the line.
Okay. Do you know? I have a listener here who says that they're 30 years old, a 30-year-old man, healthy weight, no underlying conditions, right? Absolutely wiped for 3 days with what feels like a really bad flu, fully blocked nose, an awful pain in his throat, aches and pains all over the place, no signs of it improving. But that does sound like the flu.
That does sound like the flu, and just because it's now doesn't mean it's not the flu.
Is there much flu around?
Well, there's always a little bit of COVID around and there's always a little bit of flu around and people go to other countries and people bring back things and small bit of spikes of things. But I suppose after a few days, if you're not improving, that would be the time to go down and make sure it's not bacterial or it's not that he's developing a pneumonia if he's feeling that awful.
Yes, but leave it for a few days and see if you improve is the initial advice.
Yeah, take some paracetamol. But if your temperature goes, you know, above 39 or something, go down to your doctor or to somebody for a little bit of health and advice.
Okay, duvet day is the prescription.
I would think that would be
so
mental health day.
But that person has that for 3 days, so maybe the time is now to go and have it checked out.
3 days, if you feel really rotten still in 3 days, you're not on the turn, go and have it checked out.
Eleanor, thank you very much for all of that advice.
The Clare Byrne Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.